.org.
Let's get it started in here.
Mornings, they can help you feel down. I need info to help me get off the ground, so I listen to know what is going down. There's no need to be uninformed. That's why I listen to Justice and Drew. That's why I listen to Justice and Drew. They cover everything that I need to know. I finally have a good morning show. Justice and Drew, you gotta listen to Justice and Drew. Samsung 5 is the best way to kick off my day. I can't wait to hear what they say.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. You are listening to the Justice and Drew Show. I am your guest host, Brian McDaniel from the Wrong About Everything podcast. I am joined today by Americans for Prosperity's own Jason Flores.
Good morning, everybody.
That is his real voice. We also have in-studio comedian Corey Adam.
Present and accounted for.
Giddy up. We have Brianne in the booth.
Yo.
This is day three of me getting the keys to this fine morning show, so I want to make sure to...
How do you feel about your insurrection?
Well, I'm not leaving.
Well, I mean, that's the first step to a takeover. Yeah, is you can't leave.
I brought lots of water.
Can't give up in the middle of a military coup. Bar.
No, that's... That's a completely like Democrat stance. You can't do that.
Monday, I was joined by Max Reimer, and then yesterday I had Amy Koch, former Senate Majority Leader, in. So thank you both to them, and thank you to John, Drew, and Sam for giving me the ability to do this, because you know it's fun playing radio every once in a while. And Brianne, thank you so much for making sure that I don't do anything that burns down the building.
You're so welcome.
Giddy up.
Have you told him about the 2-minute tape delay yet? Just to make sure that he's okay?
It's not 2 minutes, but there's a delay.
Yeah, no, hey, that's there for all of our production.
Oh,
no.
Well, hey, all right.
Yeah, no, I don't need to work without a net, and fortunately we haven't needed that. Hey Jason, why don't you tell the listening public a little bit about you?
A little about me. I just I basically guest hosted things that Brian needs help with.
Yeah,
he needs help on the podcast. I show up. Needs help on a radio show that isn't even his. I show up.
Be sure to catch you tomorrow night when you're guest hosting, cleaning his basement.
I wish. I'm still waiting to get invited to a live comedy night, Brian. I mean, I feel like I put forward enough effort on the radio. I should be able to fill in for you at some comedy club sometime,
well,
too.
Well, this is going to sound dirtier than I intended, but your wife said she's coming to my show on Saturday.
I think she is. It's officially on my Google calendar, so I have to go.
That's a true story.
But I am the state director for Americans for Prosperity in the state, and we work on... Well, here's what we do. We work on public policy issues, trying to, in many ways, get rid of barriers to opportunity that people are facing. And lots of times, unfortunately, in the state of Minnesota, that comes down to government trying to do too much and be too much and tax too much and regulate too much. So we give people who have some concerns about that or who are impacted by that personally, we give them a voice. It's kind of a campaign-style approach to making the issue sexy again.
Well, and I take a lot of pleasure after hearing that, you know, essentially, you know, you are that. You are the principled conscience of the conservative movement, and yet you follow around the swamp monster here and feast off my crumbs.
I'm sure I'll find many ways to call a little truth to power, even to my radio host overlords here this morning. But I mean, you bring up a good point where there is a little bit of truth to power needed on both sides of the aisle. Right. And that's the part that I think gets lost in this partisan debate that we end up always having, is it's easy to give the other side a hard time.
Yep.
But if you're active in anything political, if you're active in anything policy oriented, make sure that you're giving your own side a hard time too when they're doing the wrong thing. We're going to get to some of those issues here this morning as we talk about them, but no side's got a monopoly on right versus wrong. It's just varying degrees of it, and all of it should be challenged. That's, honest to God, 4th of July tomorrow, that's part of what makes America great.
I disagree with all that. Just fall into team red and blue. They seem to know what they're doing, guys. When is that ever...
You can't argue with results.
When is that... Right? Yeah, you can't argue with results. I mean, all I know is they've been in control for a while, and we're still here. So, I mean, I believe everything my party says, because this is exactly what I want to hear.
Corey, tell them a little bit about you.
I'm a libertarian, and I hate the government.
Woohoo!
I'm also a stand-up comedian, so I spend a lot of time talking about my genitalia.
Yeah, there is that.
So I am a swamp monster in a much different aspect.
Much different way. Yeah, you have a CD that you just released, right?
I do. I just I have three CDs. The second one, No Joke 2, just dropped like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You can get it wherever. I mean, it's on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on all of that. All I really wanted people out there to know is, you know, less government good. That's all.
Got a website?
Yeah, it's CoreyAdamWasTaken.com.
Awesome. Well, hey, the roadmap for the show is the three of us are going to talk about stuff.
Weird.
And then,
I like this. Yeah. This is a new approach.
And then in the 8 o'clock hour, John Bonus, otherwise known as Twins Geek from Gleeman and the Geek, is going to come in, and we're going to talk twins, because coming up on the 4th of July, what's more American than talking baseball?
Nothing.
Nothing. And wait, no, preseason football.
Yeah.
What's more Minnesotan than not enjoying the Twins winning, but waiting for them to fall apart? Wow.
It's so funny. My grandpa is a huge Twins fan, has been his whole life, you know, and I've been a pretty big one because we always would go to the games, and him and I were talking last week, and I'm like, man, the Twins are doing really good. And he goes, come on, Corey, you're way too young to believe that. It's not even a end of July.
Well, we need to go to a break, but we want to make sure to hear from you today. Please call in. We want to talk to you a lot. Call in at 651-989-5855. You're listening to the Justice and Drew Show on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. And please listen to us anywhere on the iHeart.
Every half hour and the best talk hosts in the business. This is TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
1130 AM.
Because you deserve the truth.
Good morning and welcome back to the Justice and Drew Show. I am your host today, Brian McDaniel from the Wrong About Everything podcast. I am joined in studio by Americans for Prosperity's own Jason Flores.
Good morning.
We have libertarian comedian
Haru
Corey Adam.
Yeah, what's up?
We have
taxation is theft.
We have Brianne in the booth. We're gonna have a fun Wednesday on Independence Day Eve, which is not a thing.
It should be.
Why not?
We've made Father's Day Eve a thing, right? That's become kind of a standard.
What?
Get Has out it? And.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that. What are you talking about?
I don't think that's true.
Oh no, that's a big thing. Because the whole point is Father's Day.
You're thinking of Arbor Day.
No. Arbor Day Eve. There's one time I was in Vegas for Arbor Day Eve.
Oh, man. Arbor Day Eve gets lit.
Oh, my gosh. Forget about it.
Bonfire 7 feet high. We'll respect the trees tomorrow.
Well, you see how today's going to go, everybody. We want to hear from you. 651-989-5855. And, hey, guess what? There was a soccer game yesterday.
Football.
Football. And very apropos for Independence Week here in America.
It's a long goal.
Yeah, it's a long goal. The American women's team, we beat England again. I saw a shirt this week that said that England blew a 13-colony lead.
Ooh.
Which I thought was super funny.
That's awesome.
The Americans won 2-1. On her 30th birthday, my pretend girlfriend, Alex Morgan, scored the winning goal.
How many pretend girlfriends do you have at this point?
Wow. You know, it's a cast of thousands.
Scored a goal and then celebrated with a cup of tea on the sideline, didn't she?
Yeah, she mimicked drinking tea. So cheerio to everybody.
Nothing as American as tea. Am I right, boys?
Giddy up. Megan Rapinoe, the controversial Megan Rapinoe, did not play due to a hamstring injury. But interestingly, her partner, WNBA, I don't know if she still plays, but at least former star, Sue Bird, put out a article, because if you remember, Megan Rapinoe said, you know, with the F expletive, that she would not go to the White House if they won, and she also refuses to sing the Star Spangled Banner as a way to stick it to Trump. Well, of course, you know, President Trump,
because Trump's a huge soccer fan.
Never
get it.
He never met a tweet that he couldn't hit send to. Of course, then went after Rapinoe, and Sue Bird penned an article talking about how President Trump is attacking her girlfriend, and I think that everybody's getting what they want out of that relationship, which is attention.
Except for Trump, he's getting mentioned with soccer. Nobody wants that.
I think the president's proven the case of any mention is a good mention.
Even soccer?
Even soccer. It's an American victory. He's now forever linked with American victory.
You just said soccer is an American victory.
Yeah.
When we start fighting, once we beat any British colony or country in cricket, then we can talk about actually overcoming.
Does anybody else find it funny how for years the women's World Cup team has been good and gotten no coverage, but the one time the men don't make it at all, now it's everywhere?
Well, the men's national team's embarrassing right now. They're terrible. Now, I was a soccer player. I was a goalie, but I never liked soccer. I just played it because I was reasonably good at it. But my wife was a soccer goalie, and she was good. My daughter plays. My father-in-law was the
so you have a long lineage of un-American. Play American football, man.
Well, that was a lot of running.
Fair. You don't look like somebody.
There's
that
no running
a lot
in soccer.
Running.
Yeah.
Just not when you're the goalie.
That's one of the things I used to like, is they would say, "Oh, you're a soccer player." I'm like, "No, I'm a goalie."
Yeah, that's why my kid wanted to. I got two kids that play hockey. Wanted to be a goalie when he's growing up. Now he's got enough screws loose to be a goalie because you need a couple of those. But he only wanted to be a goalie because he thought that he could get away with not doing all the drills.
No, you have to do it all in skating. Pads.
Then he realized that. Then I got to wear all these pads and do all the same stuff and be last in every drill. And it didn't work out well for him.
And
not a soccer player. He's not a goalie. Never mind the fact that his mother never would have been able to handle that.
Yeah.
Well, that's also just
too much pressure.
That's emotional seppuku, too. I mean, a lot of the times you have no defense and the other team scores 3 or 4 points and your kid's going to come home and all you hear is crying and The Cure coming from their room. I mean, you can't be a good parent and let your kid grow up to be a goalie.
No, not at all.
I remember I had a goalie coach, and he used to play for the Kicks. But one day he didn't like what I was doing in goal in practice, and he runs up and he goes, he was from Africa. He goes, You're a basket. I said, excuse me? He goes, you're a basket. I'm like, I don't understand. You let everything go through you. I said, I'm a sieve.
Sieve.
He goes, you're a sieve.
Sieve. Sieve.
So that's how good of a goalie he was. But when everyone else was running, all the people just kicked stuff at
him. Sieve sounds like a new STD that Brian has. you got the sieve.
And here I was going to give the goalie a little bit of credit for saving the American victory, but I think we should probably just let this die.
Well, it's an important role, but I mean, I'm just saying, if I ever had a kid and he's like, I want to be a goalie, I'm like, let's not do sports, buddy. Like, I don't want to deal with that, because again, I mean, I played hockey. Like, it's crazy because you just get all these, like, you'll have goals that have nothing to do with you. And then you get to cry.
Some of us have a hole inside of us that can only be filled with attention. And being the goalie,
there's other ways to do that than to rely on people in a team dynamic. Well,
sometimes you become 44 and start doing stand-up comedy, but you don't always realize that when you're a kid.
And that's what being a goalie led to.
Just round down 54?
No, I was 44 when I started. In fact, if you want to see me, people can see me this week. In fact, tonight, if you want to go to the Tilted Tiki in Stillwater.
Oh, Stillwater's famous Tilted Tiki.
You can see me do some jokes. If you're going to be in Mankato on Friday, I'm going to be at the Coffee Hag.
Oh.
And then I'm probably going to go.
You're at a bunch of open mics, aren't you?
These are booked showcases.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm getting $10 tonight.
Yeah, wow. Not even gas money.
Every amateur night across the city, Brian will be there.
Brian has never been an amateur mic night that he couldn't say no to. It's great.
Pretty much no. I will readily admit, You are a real comedian.
I wasn't doing that. Flex. Did you hear that? That's weird.
No, I'm always impressed with you. I'm impressed with the comedian. I'm impressed with you on this show.
I always try to get back at my good graces. See how this works?
Well, hey, you know, you never know.
Not going to play soccer with you, all right?
You never know when you get thrown a five-minute guest spot. Anyway, we need to go to a break, so we want to hear from you. 651-989-5855. When we come back, we are going to talk about Trump and his tanks.
Really biggest tanks ever. They're so big.
You are listening to the Justice and Drew Show. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, FM 103.5. Listen to us anywhere on the iHeart.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeart Radio app. Download it now.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Justice and Drew Show. I am your host, Brian McDaniel from the Wrong About Everything podcast. Once again, joined in studio by Americans for Prosperity's own Jason Flores.
Happy to be here.
We have comedian Corey Adam in the studio.
Ahoy, ahoy.
We got Brianne in the booth. And we're about to talk a little Trump tanks, but we want to hear from you. 651-989-5855. Give us a call, and we can discuss the weighty issues of this Independence Day week. 2 M1 Abrams tanks and two Bradley fighting vehicles were moved into place Tuesday night to be on static display during President Donald Trump's Salute to America, a defense official told ABC News, as part of the president's effort to reshape the annual July 4th celebration on the National Mall.
Wait, what?
I didn't know that it needed reshaping.
More importantly, how is having a heavy flex of military any kind of reshaping of the celebration of us kicking out Britain?
Trump is set to give a speech at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday in front of the Lincoln Memorial, highlighting the U.S. military and multiple fighters and other aircraft are preparing flyovers above the mall during the president's remarks. Now,
what's the over-under? We see a UFO. Like, they just have spacecraft. This is from the Space Force.
I think
the
Space Force should be represented.
That's what I'm saying.
If we're going to bring all the other branches out and we're going to put tanks on the mall, we should at least put Space Force out there.
Trump,
I agree.
Trump tweeted, "Big 4th of July in D.C., salute to America, the Pentagon, and our great military leaders are thrilled to be doing this and showing the American people the strongest and most advanced military anywhere in the world." this week, I've probably been as pro-Trump as I've been in a long, long, long time.
Which is saying something to you.
This is just bizarre. And let me tell you, I mean, you know, for the people who say, oh, Trump's trying to be a military strongman. No, he has low self-esteem and he just wants to seem like a big deal. That's fine. We all get that. I tell jokes in front of people for pennies. So I get that. Shekels. But what is most offensive about this is, what do you think the price tag is on this whole affair?
$100? Free? $200?
$100? $200?
Nothing. Fiat currency, buddy. Doesn't cost us anything.
$92 million.
$92 million just to put a couple tanks in place.
I think it was supposed to be $12
million. Wait. So
I would have been equally as offended by that.
Wait, so how much was that again?
$92 million.
So why aren't we just building the wall out of tanks?
We should. You know what? I think we just solved the national crisis.
Look, my wall is going to fire the most bullets ever. It's going to bigly be the most offensive defensive structure ever.
It's kind of ridiculous that on the 4th of July, we have to have a completely overt military show of force.
Yeah, that's right? What I'm saying.
I mean, that's what... This isn't Soviet Union Russia. This isn't Tiananmen Square. This is... America's a little bit more than just a strong military. Credit to them, right? And need them and want them. And you're never going to find me disrespecting the military. But do we need to make that, for especially at the cost of $92 million, a part of that overt part of this? Really just to, like you said, salve Trump's want for some big iron on the sidelines?
Because this isn't something that I think the American people are like questioning. I don't think that people are saying, hey, you know what? You know, we don't have a strong military anymore. I don't think people are saying that.
Well, they're definitely not saying that in the Middle East.
No. I mean, if it was a peace through strength type of thing, but you know, back
here's the real question though. When did we get too good for fireworks? Like, that's one of the coolest things ever. We're making colored sky explosions, but we're like, nah, never mind. Let's just run around these tread vehicles.
Well, maybe because of tariffs, maybe we just couldn't afford them this year.
And we do import a lot of them from China.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Jason, if you have been, but I've been in D.C. for the 4th of July. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fireworks guy, but fireworks on the 4th of July in D.C. are worth checking.
It's pretty American.
It's a pretty good thing. America. The one piece of news that came out of this whole military parade and the tanks that I kind of appreciated in a roundabout sense was, so they're worried about damage to the tanks rolling around on roads.
Damage
to the roads or damage to the Lincoln Memorial. There's a lot of underground rooms around the Lincoln Memorial.
Okay.
So to place them there, there may be some structural, you know, engineering type concerns. But what came out was that the majority of the bridges that surround the Capitol can't support the weight of a tank actually rolling across itself. And I find a little bit of comfort in that, in kind of a Caesar crossing the Rubicon kind of way, in that we're not actually that Trump to defend the Capitol if or when he loses an election or after 8 years, he can't actually use those tanks to stay in power because they can't actually get to the White House.
I just think it's fun. Like, at first I thought you said that those tanks were going to get damaged by the road. And I was like, these are some terrible tanks.
Well, as someone who does some transportation lobbying, you know, we're always saying that, you know, big trucks are ruining our roads. That's got nothing on a 60-ton tank.
Big trucks?
Big trucks.
You're saying MnDOT wrong.
I might be. Let's go to Portland. And we talked about
this. Oh, good. Everything's much better in Portland.
Yeah. Wait. Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon?
We're going to go to Oregon.
Ugh, fine.
Yeah, the bad one.
Yeah, that's how bad Portland, Oregon's fell. Portland, Oregon is now the worst Portland behind Portland, Maine. And Maine is like the moon of bizarre weirdos.
I've actually never been to either. But
don't.
I'll take your word for it. We talked about this a little bit on Monday, but a journalist for the online magazine Quillette, which I actually didn't know was a thing until now.
It's about quilting, right?
Yeah, something like that. Andy Ngo, who actually has kind of built his career on identifying, you know, these kind of left-wing hoaxes, you know, the people who are claiming racism and then finds out that it was something that was manufactured. Well, you know,
like the Smollett thing.
He was beaten very severely during an Antifa event, and at first real journalists were very slow to condemn Antifa. Oddly enough, CNN has pretty much been you know, the biggest, I don't know, not defender, but the people kind of waving their hands saying, you know what, you know, just because this guy was a right winger and you know, journalist, maybe in air quotes a little bit, doesn't mean that journalists being assaulted is something that should be taken lightly. And this guy wasn't a slight beating. He was, you know, I think he had a cracked skull.
Yeah, they threw cement and a brick at him.
Yeah, they threw what they call milkshaking, which for, you know, doesn't bring all the boys to the yard. But, you know, when there is concrete in the milkshake, I'm using air quotes on radio, I'm a professional.
It's a nice visual gag for our listeners.
Yeah, you know that. You know, it burns. It's a big deal.
Well, and he literally had a brain hemorrhage at the hospital. Was treated at the emergency room for injuries sustained. And if you've seen the video, it's ridiculous. This isn't a act of protest. This isn't a simple milkshake in the face of somebody you disagree with. And ha ha, now your tie's ruined. This was assault. Period. Without plain and simple. Question.
And you have to kind of ask yourself, you know, where was law enforcement? They weren't. You know, this guy was not protected. Let's come back to this. We want to talk with Julie from Hopkins, who wants to talk about Trump's 4th of July parade. Julie, thanks for calling in.
Hi. I am really surprised that you guys are so negative about this parade. I don't see a problem with it, and I'm shocked at all. MSNBC and you know, the liberal networks, how they're saying, you know, this is Trump Trump is weak and he's got to show his power. I don't see it like that at all. And 92 million? That's a drop in the bucket.
That's a big bucket if that's a drop.
That's a big bucket, yeah.
Yeah, but what about all the other waste that we see?
Oh, sure.
Just trying to do something that's patriotic to, you know, boost the morale of the country, of the military. And I know there's people that will never change their mind about it and about, you know, loving their country. But I applaud it.
I just don't think that displaying a bunch of tanks is going to be the big cornerstone of people coming around to supporting the country. I mean, if somebody made up their mind that, you know, for whatever reason, they're going to be against, you know, Trump or the military, or the country, whatever. I just don't see a parade. Like, in my experience, for me, a parade has never changed my mind.
Well, and kind of along those lines, you know, I don't have a problem with it on its face. Tanks are cool. It's the same reason when you go to, you know, the Apple Valley Parade, they're going to have fire trucks. You know, kids think fire trucks are cool. People think fire trucks are cool. So I get that, you know, it can be a cool visual display, and I have absolutely no problem with it in and of itself. It just seems that Trump has always been pretty, I mean, he's tried to do this before. He's very focused on the tanks, and at this price tag or anything close to this price tag, it just doesn't seem worth it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not worth it to me.
It's really the price tag for me. You spend that amount of money putting so much in place, having this very overt show of, look, connect me to this military and have this visual. I mean, there's easier ways to do that. With where he may give a speech or when he's visiting troops. I mean, he's spent plenty of time greeting and meeting troops on his way to the G20 last week, stopped in Alaska. Great photos, all that can be done without moving heaven and earth, without adding this level and literally taking this. This isn't a 4th of July thing that Trump wants to do here. This is a full-on Soviet-style military parade he wants to put on, that he's wanted to put on for a long time, and the 4th of July is being used as the excuse to do it, and then it's costing us a fortune. And if $92 million is a drop in the bucket, get me a bucket.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And you know, we'll
the thing is, it does just kind of seem like it's just a photo op for propaganda, right?
Yeah, a little.
Like, I mean, I remember anytime something comes through story-wise with North Korea, you always see that same canned image of them, you know, marching down with the, you know, bomb and all that stuff that's from probably like the 80s. And I just see this as, this is going to be, for better or worse, the clip that gets played every time we go to war. And guess what? We go to war a lot. Also, tanks, I've seen that before. You want to spend that much money? You show me something I haven't seen. You ever been to one of those monster truck jams? No, you've seen the monster truck jams and stuff? Make me a Tankosaurus. Like, if we're going to spend that much money, I want a giant dinosaur made out of tanks. Like, you show me something. I've seen a bunch of tanks. I don't care. I've watched documentaries. I have the History Channel. You're not going to do anything. Tankosaurus.
We should be getting closer and closer to a Transformers-type world
where you
take multiple tanks and make one giant tank.
Yes, where's Voltron? Voltron. Where is American Voltron?
Yeah, we should be working on that. All right, let's talk to Jay from Southern Minnesota. Thanks for calling in, Jay.
Hey, thanks for listening to me. Justice and Drew go on vacation and CNN comes to talk. 11:30 a.m. You guys are kind of pulling what CNN does. You need to give me how much the 4th of July celebration last year was in Washington. And then let's compare the $92 million to that cost to see how much of an increase it is. Plus, anytime the president goes anywhere, it's a multi-million dollar operation. So, you know, the added security just having the president there, you know, I think we should compare apples to apples here and see what's going on.
Well, and if it was $92 million for Voltron, I think I'd probably have a very different opinion on it. And yeah, I mean, maybe we, you know, I don't know what they spent last year, but if they spent $92 million last year, I'm mad about that. This just isn't, you know, even though if it might be a drop in the bucket, like our last caller, I mean, at some point in time, Republicans need to start acting like Republicans on fiscal issues.
Yes.
Thanks for calling in, Jay.
I mean, that's like, to me, like, I'm a libertarian. The main reason I'm a libertarian is because the Republicans claim to be fiscally conservative, but then stuff like this comes out. You're spending and growing the government at the same rate of the Democrats. And for all the issues you have with the Dems, you can't get mad at them because that's in their tenets, big government. But you cannot keep acting like you're this small government party when you're spending stuff on this and we're not even getting a Tankosaurus.
Yeah, and this isn't even and this point isn't really even an anti-Trump point. This is you know, we're mad at the congressional Republicans.
Yes,
we're mad at the senators who are, to a certain extent, are saying one thing on fiscal issues and then, you know, bringing us debt and
back
debt and debt.
Back in the day when our government worked better cohesively, you had one party that wanted more. That's what liberal's supposed to mean. And you wanted one party that wanted less. That's what conservative's supposed to mean. But somewhere along the lines, they both kind of got blurred and they're like, we'll just spend what, it's a drop in the bucket. Who cares? It tanks. It's fun.
And that's how this happens, Jason.
According to NPR, they did a little digging into this. Cost per flying hour for an F-35 for a flyover for each of them, $20,000 per hour.
Is that it?
Blue Angels come a little more. They're $6,000 per day. They're already doing a bunch of air shows. The concerts portion, part of the National Park Service budget, $6.4 million. And then the fireworks probably cost, they are estimating, more than $250,000, though a majority of that is actually donated by private citizens and part of a different fund. So that's not taxpayer dollars in that point. So it seems like if we're going to spend, and I would argue that $92 million is probably high. You've got the same groups here that do it, that do the estimates when Obama went on vacation, that when Trump goes on vacation, and they count everything, including cost, as the listener rightly said, cost that would probably be incurred already anyway. And yet, there's no question that this is a lot more money than would usually be spent on something, all at the president. Again, my problem, the president just gets to choose to spend this money by himself.
Here's the real question. How much more could we save if we just retrofit drones with fireworks? Now, that's something we've never seen before. It'd probably be cheaper. And I bet you could get drones to shoot off bottle rockets. I bet that's super easy.
Well, they should get somebody on that.
Look, our drones have the biggest, greatest, bigliest bottle rockets. Go America. We don't play soccer.
And like we said, this is not me necessarily, you know, just trying to bag on our president, because, you know, every president has their thing. This is just seems like a pretty exorbitant price tag for something that seems to have logistic problems and isn't something that is going to be a big wow factor for the population. But you know what? I've been wrong before a lot. So maybe this is something that inspires little Janie or Johnny to join our military and make us a stronger power in the world. I don't know.
Or you could just watch Independence Day a couple times on loop and you'll be good to go by the
end. But not the second one.
Top Gun. Yeah, no, not the second one. All right. Well, we are going to head to break. We want to hear from you. Thanks for the callers that we've had so far. Actually, I had a caller say, what time's your show in Stillwater tonight, Brian? You know what? It's at 8 o'clock with the Tilted Tiki.
You've never met an opportunity to promote that
it's
you didn't
It's on
love.
The screen. I have to read what's on the screen.
You got to do what the callers say. It's just a radio rule.
It's a law. It's a law. Anyway, 651.
Tankosaurus. I want it.
651-989-5855. You're listening to the Justice and Drew Show on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, FM 103.5. You can also catch us on TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com or anywhere on the